Good afternoon, everyone. This is Madhuri. A very warm welcome to all of you for this Nucleus Software Earnings Conference Call for the quarter and 9 months ended on December 31st, 2025. For discussions, we have here from the management team, Mr. Vishnu R. Dusad, our Managing Director, Mr. Parag Desai, CEO and Executive Director, Mr. Anurag Mantri, COO, Mr. Ashok Kumar Bura, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Apurva Kamaria, Chief Business Officer, Mr. Mukesh Bangia, Vice President, Mr. Abhishek Pallav, Vice President, Ms. Swati Patwardhan, Chief Human Resource Officer, Mr. Pradeep Malik, Vice President, and Mr. Tapan Jaiswal, Financial Controller. As you all are aware, Nucleus Software does not provide any specific revenue earnings guidance. Anything which is said during this call which may reflect company's outlook for the future or which may be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. An audio and the transcript of this call would be shortly available on the investor section of company's website www.nucleussoftware.com. With this, we are now ready to begin with the opening comments on the performance of the company, and post that, we would be available for the question and answer session. With this, I now pass it over to Mr. Vishnu. Over to you, sir.
A warm welcome to our investor call for quarter ending 31st December 2025. We continue to be grateful to you for your continued interest in Nucleus Software. This quarter, we are delighted to welcome Apurva Kamaria, our Chief Business Officer, who brings more than two decades of very rich experience with companies like HCL, RateGain, Tech Mahindra, and Google. We look forward to his contributing to the betterment of the company, and with those words, I pass it on to Parag.
Thank you so much, sir, and my warm welcome to everyone who has joined this call, and I would also like to welcome Apurva to the Nucleus family and looking forward to learn from his experience and his contributions. This quarter also has been a quarter of steady performance for us, I would say, both on the order booking side and on the implementation side. And otherwise, we continue to work on our long-term strategy, as we've been talking about. Thank you.
We can start with Mr. Tapan's financial comment. Tapan, sir, over to you.
Swati, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Our consolidated revenue for the quarter is at rupees 220.03 crores against 213.51 crore quarter-on-quarter and rupees 205.7 crore year-on-year. Overall revenue in foreign currency, including India rupees revenue, is US$24.92 million for the quarter against US$24.47 million quarter-on-quarter and US$24.41 million year-on-year. Product revenue for the quarter is at rupees 185.58 crore against rupees 181.02 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 174.83 crore year on year. Revenue from projects and services for the quarter is at rupees 34.45 crore against rupees 32.49 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 30.87 crore year on year. Moving on to expenses. Cost of delivery, including cost of product development for the quarter, is 70.0% of revenue against 73.9% of revenue quarter on quarter and 70.7% of revenue year on year. In absolute terms, this is rupees 155 crores against rupees 157.7 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 145.49 crore year on year. Marketing and sales expenses for the quarter is 7.8% of revenue against 7.3% of revenue quarter on quarter and 5.6% year on year. In absolute terms, this is rupees 17.2 crore against rupees 15.67 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 11.55 crore year on year. G&A expenses for the quarter is 6.9% of revenue against 8% of revenue quarter on quarter and 7.6% year on year. In absolute terms, this is rupees 15.10 crore against rupees 17.07 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 15.64 crore year on year. EBITDA for the quarter is at rupees 32.72 crores against rupees 23.08 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 33.02 crore year on year. Other income from investments and deposit is at rupees 14.87 crore against rupees 13.50 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 14.78 crore year on year. Total other income for the quarter is at rupees 15.12 crore against rupees 16.16 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 15.57 crore year on year. Total taxes 0.96 crore against rupees 9.12 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 10 crore year on year. Net profit is at rupees 20.7 crore for the quarter against rupees 26.29 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 34.97 crore year on year. Other comprehensive income is at rupees 3.58 crore for the quarter against rupees 2.77 crore quarter on quarter and negative 1.69 crore year on year. Total comprehensive income, which includes net profit and other comprehensive income, is at rupees 24.28 crore for the quarter against rupees 29.06 crore quarter on quarter and rupees 33.28 crore year on year. EPS for the quarter is at rupees 7.86 as against rupees 9.99 in the previous quarter and rupees 13.28 year on year. In terms of foreign currency hedges, on December 31st, we had US dollar 3 million of forward contracts at an average rate of 89.38. There is a mark to market loss of rupees 0.37 crores, which is taken to hedging reserve in the balance sheet. Revenue contribution from the top 5 clients for the quarter is 27.02% against 27.12% in the previous quarter. The order book position is rupees 656.68 crore, including rupees 588.74 crore of the product business and rupees 67.94 crore of projects and services business. On September 30th, the order book position was rupees 671.1 crore, including rupees 579.67 crore of product business and rupees 91.43 crore of projects and services business. Total cash and cash equivalent as on December 31st are rupees 971.6 crore against rupees 961.66 crore as on September 30th. This includes balances in current accounts of rupees 41.15 crore, various schemes of mutual fund rupees 634.30 crore, fixed deposits of rupees 263.17 crore, investments in tax-free bonds of rupees 32.98 crore. With regards to receivables, we are at rupees 117.44 crore against rupees 116.19 crore in the previous quarter. During the quarter, there is a gross addition of fixed assets of rupees 2.94 crore, consisting primarily of rupees 0.18 crore on computer and servers, 0.01 crores on office equipment, 0.17 crore on plant and machinery, 0.15 crore on furniture and fixtures, and rupees 2.43 crores on software. Now I'll hand it over to Swati.
Thank you, sir. With this, now we are open for the question and answer session. Over to you, Madhvi.
Thank you, ma'am. With this, we are now open for the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, may please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be pronounced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star and 1 again. First question comes from Raghav Maheshwari from Kamyakya Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
On a good set of numbers. So we have been following this company, and there was a doubt about migration of the legacy customer base from FinnOne to FinnOne Neo. So last time the management had mentioned that the migration is going on, sir. And so could you give us a qualitative sense of where we are in this journey, like in terms of your total install base? Are we 30% through the migration or 50% or just starting? And what is the target by this, you know, upcoming year end?
Yeah, thank you for your question. This is Parag here. So, difficult to quantify. I would only say that the migration process is on. We are getting customers moved to the new platform. I had also mentioned earlier that it is a time taking journey. Our customers are comfortable with our existing products, so though technology obsolescence is a challenge, but of course the any change is difficult. So we have migrated some large customers. Some are in progress both in India and other geographies. And we are encouraging everyone to upgrade. But at this time, difficult to give any definitive response on timelines or numbers.
So is it by when are we planning to complete this migration?
Look, we would want to do it at the earliest possible, but difficult. And as such, with our customers on older platforms, we're not facing any challenges. We are serving them also. We are having maintenance contracts with them. So we are not, we would want them to migrate at the earliest. At the same time, but if we have to talk about some timeline, then maybe I think next 3 to 4 years.
Understood, sir. And sir, my next question would be around cost of delivery. I think from last quarter, our cost of delivery has come down to 70% something. And I think this is a contribution given by less employee cost because of this all migration and all happening. So, sir, just to get an idea, is this cost of delivery sustainable for the coming time, or can we see some uptick in this as well?
So, we will see, we should see a little jump because of this new labor code getting injected. I think that impact will definitely impact the P&L going forward as well.
No, I'm particularly talking about cost of delivery, sir.
So the cost of delivery includes the manpower cost as well. So that definitely is going to increase based on the recent labor code changes. So
the hit which you have taken as, I think, somewhere around 18 crores, that is not a one-time then?
No, no. So that is definitely a one-time impact, but that has not got factored in EBITDA. That has got recorded as an exception item below EBITDA. But however, going forward, it will start impacting EBITDA because then it will become business as usual.
Understood, sir. So the 70% can go a little bit higher from this, right, in the coming quarters?
Should be. While I can't quote a percentage because there are a lot of initiatives we would take to contain that. Maybe in a longer term, if you see, adoption of AI may help reducing some cost, but that may get offsetted by some, I would say, marketing-related expenses where we set our foot in a different geographical territory. So it will keep on getting impacted by these things, while we will keep a close watch on this should not increase exponentially. We will definitely figure out some way to contain it. But yes, these are the factors which will keep impacting us in form of cost.
Understood, sir. And lastly, sir, have you added any new logos in this quarter?
We do have added logos, and if you talk about this full year, we have added around 7 logos this year.
So that makes around 2.
We have added 2 logos.
2 logos, right? And these are all coming for the Neo one, right? The 8.5 version or 8.0
yes,
version.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Any new customer acquisition doesn't make sense to acquire at any older version. While we are chasing for upgrading them to the newer version, obviously that is the thought process behind acquisition of each and every new customer.
Okay, sir. I have more question. I'll join back in the queue, sir.
The next question comes from Rushabh Shah from Bugle Rock PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, but you could be a little louder.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, yes, you are.
Yeah. So, sir, I had a question. We had entered the Australian market in 2015. And then again in 2021, when the Bank of Sydney appointed Nucleus to lead its digital lending transaction. But so we still in that market, we are not able to scale up. So what challenges are we facing in that market?
No challenge. I think the market is high yield market, but at the same time the number of players are not as many as it's not as such a dense market as India or Middle East. So that's one. So no challenge as such, it's just that things are moving slowly. Of course I would want to say that we are still there. We have sales presence there, we have a few people positioned there, and we are also taking inputs from that market and continuously working on aligning our products to what would sell in that market. So that work is continuously on.
So, sir, as you said, there it is not as dense market. So, do we have let's say there are less number of players in that market? So, do we have an upper hand in Australian market?
Yes, because it's not that we are coming across a lot of competition. Our products, wherever we pitch, is we are able to make an impression. We are able to impress people with what we have. So that way, if you say yes, we are very reasonably placed there.
Okay. My second question is that when we launch a new product, let's say it's an upgradation of an existing software, so how difficult is it for the existing customer to convince him to upgrade to the newer version? Because historically, we have had problems with conversion of customers to our newer version of the software.
So I'll explain it in two parts. One is what I spoke in response to an earlier question, the first question, from old platform to new platform, that conversion is a bit difficult because, as I said, customers are, one, very comfortable with the old product, and that journey is still, I would say, even for customer, a heavy investment, because all of a sudden that's a new old product we come out with, a completely new product. But when it comes to upgrading our existing FinOne Neo or Finexia customers to a higher version of same product, that journey is relatively easy. There have been instances where we've been able to upgrade our customers over a weekend, and there's a continuous effort to make that journey very smooth. So once they are on the new technology stack, new product suite, then it's a relatively very easy journey, I would say. But from
the old stack to the new stack is where we need to do more convincing, and the efforts also there are more.
Okay. And so my next question is, since we work in multiple geographies, is working of banking industry similar in all the geographies, or is it that the different geographies require different types of software? So we have to make customized software for our customers. So if we make the customized software for them, do the complexities of the software increase, and are we able to command the pricing in our software?
My product specialist will answer this question.
Good afternoon. So this is where the product capability and configuration comes in, and the value that the platform brings is the regional and the geographical nuances and capability that can be taken care by configurations. Of course, platform is built on layered architecture, so there is a dedicated layer for that, and that takes care of the geographical aspects and bootstrapping. Hope that answers.
Yeah. So the last question is, in a couple of quarters back on the conference call, you had said that in that quarter we had lost two customers. So I wanted to know, what were the reasons of losing those customers? Was it that they got a better software somewhere, or they were not comfortable with the price of the Nucleus software? And also, were they huge customers? Like, did they contribute significantly towards our revenue?
So we'll need to check because I don't recollect any such. Some customers have. I don't recollect talking about specific customers. But then some customers do move out because their mergers happen, acquisitions happen. There are smaller customers who have moved out of, who have closed down their businesses. Those situations have happened. This happens specifically during COVID, some after that also. Those instances are there. Otherwise, we don't recollect talking about any significant movements out.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Next question comes from Rahul Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Is my line open?
Hello. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Couple of questions. So firstly, on the investment that we've been doing for some time in terms of adding the manpower or the senior leadership to strengthen our business, we have done that job. We've been doing that for some time. However, in terms of the order booking, we have not seen any meaningful delta coming out yet. So is it right now setting into an expanded pipeline and may come into order book eventually over next 6 to 12 months, or any other comment you want to share on that?
So, hi, Rahul. While the changes has been done in the organization, and it takes a little time to settle and start reflecting into the results, I hope you will also appreciate the fact that these whatever deals we do are long drawn deals. These deals do take time to come up, fructify, because there are a lot of steps which are discussed and debated before a deal is signed off or the order also comes. There are a lot of steps which are involved, and it may go on for months, and few may even change a financial year as well. Having said that, you will be happy to know that in this financial year we have added 7 new logos.
So I think, yes, we are moving in the right direction. We are on the right trajectory and we are on the right path. And given the kind of leadership we have got now and with the team below us, I think we are on the right path.
Thanks for that color. Now specific to the most buzzword, which is AI. So what is our strategy right now in terms of embedding that into some underwriting tool like we hear in the market? Where are we on that journey? And secondly, from a demand side of it, are the customers seeking incrementally AI-powered solution from company like us? And where are we on that path?
So AI strategy is part of our product roadmap and the organizational long-term and immediate strategy. So we have a strategy in, that is being built, and there is a draft version that has already taken a shape. As far as AI baking into the product, that is embedded AI, yes, that is part of our product offering. Even assisted credit decisioning has come up as part of our GA.5. And more similar AI capabilities around the product capabilities are being built, and some of them already exist. As far as the customers' demands are concerned or expectations on AI is concerned, yes, there we are getting inputs and guidance from our customers on what they are looking for, and be it on the GenAI side or the deep learning or machine learning models or expectations. So that is already on. So we are in touch with our customers and leaders, thought leaders, and we are aligning our strategy towards that accordingly.
So are we expected to have a AI branded offering also, something like FinOne AI or something, or if we would just embed those technology into the existing brand or product offering?
Embedded, we'll embed it as part of our product offering.
And so Rahul, we are not seeing
that as a separate revenue line item coming up. It will always be an embedded, because we want our customer to be able to serve their customers in a better way.
FinOne Neo AI. That
is what I have.
Yeah. So
I hope that answers.
So while some of the good capabilities around financial literacy, which is interactive statement of account, 360-degree sentiment analysis on collection sites, and there are other key capabilities has already come up, and there are several others which are under pipeline being built that will be released as part of GA, the upcoming GA.
Sure, that's good to know. And one last question from my side is on the capital allocation side. This question keeps coming once in a while. We've been accumulating cash. We've been generating a lot of cash. So is there any roadmap in terms of giving out a special dividend or doing a large buyback as a way of deploying this capital? Because as our business does not require a huge sum of capital, but we keep generating every year and getting accumulated.
So, Rahul, as of now, we would like to sit with some cash, because as you know, this AI thing has heated up. Lot of stuff is happening. It might require a lot of investment at our end also. We are treading that path steadily, and we will look into that maybe once the clear picture emerges in next 1 or 2, 3 quarters. And that is where we will be in a position to decide which way we want to go.
Sure. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Sanjot Kare, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir. So I just want to understand the quarter gone by Q3. So I think we have closed a couple of deals, and last call you also mentioned that there was delay in closure of the deals, like customers are taking longer time. So just want to understand your view, like the quarter gone by, how was the performance, was as per your expectation, or was it below expectation? And how are we seeing that the deals closure will be happening in Q4? I mean, some deals couldn't close in Q3, but will be closing Q4.
So definitely better than earlier quarters. We've been saying that we are getting traction from the market, and now we are seeing that conversions have also starting to happen. A few that have happened, which Ashok talked about. And yes, there is a significant pipeline that we have, which we hope to convert in coming quarters.
Sure. And this recent updates happen on like a tariff deal with EU and USA. Are we seeing that that will be positive for the business going forward?
We are into a product company, and as such, those arrangements are not going to impact much in any way. So we don't have too much of traction anyway in Europe. And if you talk about US, we have minimal interest as of now there, while we are trying to get our foothold there and gradually succeeding on that path. But deal per se is not going to have any significant impact on us.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from Chinmay Nema from Prescient Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Sir, in the last quarter, you talked about growing through partnerships. Could you talk about how that initiative is has been going on? Have you been able to make any inroads in the quarter? Some color around that?
So, of course, partnership with partners like AWS, Oracle, that is steadily progressing. We, I think we had updated about a global head of partnership joining in. So groundwork has started, and we are in, I think, exploratory stage as of now. These things take time. Of course, on the other side, one area where we are progressing more is on establishing partnerships with various fintechs, because that is the ecosystem today has become very, very highly integrated. So that part is moving faster. Of course, bigger player partnership, that will take some time, but we are making progress on that.
Got it. And secondly, with the new hiring that has happened in the sales team, and as well as the increase in the senior leadership, could you talk about what should be some of the key monitorables or milestones that you want to achieve over the next 1 year?
So, as we've been saying, we are focused on long term, and we've been talking about various initiatives at fundamental level we are taking. One of the core parameter that we have set for ourselves is improving customer NPS, and the entire leadership team, entire organization is actually focused on that. This is by way of lean initiatives. Of course, by strengthening the sales team and leadership, joining in that, we expect to have more sales, more implementations. But focus on existing customers and fundamentals is what is the key focus.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Dear participants, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. And the follow-up question comes from Raghav Maheshwari from Kamyakya Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks. So, sir, my follow-up question is basically on this client additions that we have done for this year, like 7 client additions. So can you tell us how many, like, what is the bifurcation of that into FinOne, Neo, and so basically the lending management system and the transaction banking part of it?
These 7 are all lending.
Okay, lending. And sir, what part of our current revenue, let's say H1, is lending, sir, in terms of percentage?
Don't think that.
So now, I think Tapan talked about high-level bifurcation. Beyond that, we track it
Understood.
At that level.
Understood, sir. And sir, next thing I wanted a clarification on was that we had introduced FinOne Neo. It's been quite a while now, and whatever clients, like you mentioned, we are adding in the new basically new version. So, sir, as of now, let's say if you have 100 clients, what percentage of those clients are into this new platform and what percentage are in just the FinOne? If you can just give a prox range.
In terms of broad bifurcation, that would be 50-50 in terms of number of customers, roughly.
50-50. And by the end of next year, sir, are we targeting it somewhere around 60-40 or 70-30?
Definitely, as we think the approach is that whether it will be 60-40, 70-30, that's difficult to say.
Understood, sir. And sir, my next question is, sir, as of now, what is your focus? Is it to get new client addition each quarter or to focus more on migration of existing ones into the GA?
Both, I would say, because there are these are different focus areas. So definitely there's focus on new customer acquisition, there's focus on giving new capabilities to existing customers as well as migration. So these are separate focus areas.
Understood, sir. And sir, lastly, I wanted to talk about industry tailwind a bit, sir, because we are seeing good credit growth on the retail sector coming in. All the banks are posting good numbers. So I think there is some sort of a industry tailwind, if you can give some light upon that. And also for that matter, sir, for the next coming year, like FY27, can you tell us, sir, like, I'm not asking for any guidance, sir, but just some qualitative factors as in where can the growth come from?
Yes, so we've been talking about growth of the MSME sector. I think the entire industry, government, regulators, everyone is talking about it. So that's definitely a growth area. The other business lines that we are seeing traction is gold loan, finance against securities, co-lending. These are the three areas from where we are getting a lot of traction.
So what exactly are you doing in gold loan?
So we have as we call it, line of business. So gold loan is also a line of business that is available with us. So is the finance against securities. So is co-lending, which is the newest one. And, of course, all others that we already have.
Understood, sir. All right, sir. Thank you, and I hope to interact with you in the next quarter.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. As there are no questions, now I hand over the floor to Ms. Swati for closing comments.
Now, we would like to thank all the investors for joining us today on this call. Now, I will pass over to Vishnu, sir, for his closing comments. Over to you.
We thank you very much for your continued interest in Nucleus Software and would like to reassure you of our commitment to deliver value to all our stakeholders in decades to come. Thank you very much.
That concludes our conference for today. Thank you for your participation. You may all disconnect your lines now.